The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may have heard this story before because it's been around for a while, but in the early days of Boys Town in Omaha, Nebraska, Father Flanagan, who is the founder of that Boys Town, noticed one boy carrying another boy on his back. And Father Flanagan was a little bit concerned, and he says, "Isn't he heavy?" And the one carrying the other one says, "No, he's not heavy. He's my brother." Two brothers who got along very well. Maybe that's all that they had. You see, Boys Town was an orphanage, and that's probably all these two boys had was each other. And so they were looking out for one another. We come to another story then too. We know of another story, the story of the prodigal son, that also contains two brothers. The younger brother is selfish and self-centered and probably a little bit spoiled, and he wants his father's inheritance and he wants it now. His father gives in, the son takes off, and he blows all that money in no time flat. But he comes to realize, as he is far away from home, that he has no friends around. They scattered as soon as his money was gone. And he knew that even on his father's place, even if he couldn't come back as a son, possibly he could become one of the hired hands, because even the hired hands had a better life than he was having now. And so he went back. And as you know in the story, the father welcomed him home with open arms, and butchered a calf and threw a feast, had a party for that son returning home. Now the other brother in that same story, probably too, was self-centered and also self-righteous. When he heard all the commotion going on up at the house, he went to go check things out and he asked his father, "What's going on here?" And the father says, "Your brother has been lost, but but now is found. He is home again. But the older brother's all upset. He said, Father, I always have done whatever you have asked of me. I have not asked anything from you, and you've never given me anything for a party. And the father explains to him that that son who was lost is now found. That's where the story ends, but you can imagine the animosity between these two brothers, or that resentment that the older brother has for that other one. Two brothers who don't necessarily get along. In our gospel lesson today, it contains a story of two brothers as well. Jesus has just been baptized, and he's hanging around in that area where John the Baptist is, probably visiting and talking with folks. Just as John the Baptist is, people come from all over the place to come and hear what's going on and be baptized by John the Baptist. And so Jesus is there as well then too. And so on that next day, Jesus is walking by, and John the Baptist declares, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And John explains that this is why he has been put on this earth. This is his mission in life, is to point to Christ, to say, Behold, this is the Lamb of God. This is the one that the prophets have been speaking of for hundreds of years. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ. This is the one that we have been waiting for. Don't look to me. Look to him. Turn to him, because he's the one who is the Lamb of God. The next day, once again, Jesus walks by, and he says the same thing. Behold, the Lamb of God. Now, John is also there teaching and preaching with his disciples. And two of his disciples hear him say this, and they get up, and they follow Jesus. When Jesus notices them following, Jesus turns around and asks, What are you looking for? What do you want? And they answer, Where are you staying? And Jesus replies, Come and see. Come and see. And they follow him. And they spend most of the day with him. Later on in the afternoon then, when they get through visiting with Jesus, the first thing that one of the disciples does, and that one disciple is Andrew, one who becomes a disciple of Jesus. Andrew goes and tells his brother, Come and see. We have found the Messiah. Simon, Andrew's brother, also goes to Jesus. And when Jesus sees Simon, he knows him already. And Jesus says, I will call you Cephas. And that's Aramaic. In Greek, it is Petros. In English, we say Peter. But it's really translated as the rock. The rock, the foundation, the solid one. Peter becomes the leader of all the disciples. He becomes a part of that inner circle of the three. When Jesus goes up on the Mountain of Transfiguration, who does he take with him? He takes Peter, James, and John. When Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane before he is arrested, who does he take with him away from the rest of the disciples? He takes Peter, James, and John. And Peter then becomes also, after Jesus is resurrected and after he ascends into heaven, Peter becomes the leader of the whole Christian church. He becomes known as the head of the church for the church on earth. Peter becomes the leader. What's amazing here in this story, though, and also throughout the gospel lessons, is that there's not any animosity between the two brothers. Andrew was first. Andrew was the one who came and followed Jesus and sat with him for that full day and was listening to him. Andrew was the one who came and got Peter. Andrew was first, but yet it is Peter who becomes the leader and a part of that inner circle. But there's no animosity. There's no jealousy. Andrew is one that doesn't matter who takes the credit or who gets what job, so long as he is able to have faith and worship in Jesus Christ and to serve him. It doesn't matter who gets the credit. In John's gospel, there's two other mentions of Andrew. There's three total. This is the first one. The second one is in John chapter 6. Jesus had been teaching and preaching out in the wilderness in a remote area and to thousands of people. A huge crowd, a very large crowd. And it was getting close to the end of the day. It was time to eat. People were starting to get hungry. The disciples were picking up on that, and they came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, you need to cut this off. You need to cut it short. People are starting to get hungry. They're starting to grumble. You know how hungry people get and how grumpy they get sometimes. Cut it off." But Andrew was not one of those coming to Jesus like that. Andrew did something different. Andrew went out into the crowd and he finds a young boy who has food. It's not much food. It's his own lunch. Basically just a couple of fish and a few rolls of bread. Enough for his own lunch. But Andrew brings the boy and brings the food. Jesus blesses it. He divides it up among the disciples and sends them out to feed the people. And everyone gets their fill. Andrew was the one who, rather than complaining or grumbling or saying, "We need to cut this off," he says, he goes out and he finds a solution. Even though it may be a meager solution to him, Jesus is able to do amazing things. The other story of Andrew is in John chapter 12. Some Greeks wanted to see Jesus, and so they approached Philip. Philip doesn't know what to do. These are Greeks. These are not Jews. They're not like us. They're different. Does Jesus even want to talk to them at all? Philip doesn't know what to do. So what Philip does is he goes and tells Andrew his problem. Andrew knows what to do immediately. He takes those visitors to Jesus. He brings them to Jesus. He doesn't hesitate at all. In our Christian church, in a congregation, we need leaders. We need people like Peter. Peter, who maybe have that charisma or who have the vision or have the ability to let people know where we are going and what we need to do. We need people like Peter whom other people are willing to follow and listen to and take the guidance of those leaders. But we also need many Andrews. We need people like Andrew, people who are, rather than grumbling or complaining or saying, "Let's quit, let's cut this off," go out and find some solutions. People like Andrew, who have that quiet faith to take care of things when they see things that need to be taken care of. People like Andrew, who go out and say, "Come, we have found the Messiah. Come and see. Come and see this Christ and what this Christ can do within your life." Andrew went out to find his brother. Andrew brings those Greeks to Jesus. We too can be like Andrew and reach out to our unchurched family members or to neighbors, to friends, to co-workers, to other people and say, "Come and see. Come and be a part of this." If we see things that need to happen in the church or if there's a problem within the congregation, maybe we can think of ways to solve this, maybe to make it better, to make this a place where all feel welcome and able to enjoy worship and are able to give thanks and praise to God for what God has done in their lives. We need people like Peter, but we need many people like Andrew as well then too, who in their quiet faith serve God. Come and see. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.